Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm delighted that you're here and joining us on this program brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, we'd love for folks to zip over to the Epiclesis website and check it out, would you? The website is epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Better yet, we'd love to have you worship with us in person. And once all this corona stuff is over with, we will welcome you with open arms, I promise. Each week on the program, I love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about ancient future faith, what's happening in the church these days in general. And today, for the first time in a long time, we have somebody right here in the Ancient Future Faith studio, Karis Fikincher. Hi, Karis, and welcome to you.
Hey, everybody.
It's wonderful to have you here. Is this your first time in a radio studio?
I believe so.
Oh,
yes, it is.
It's wonderful to have you here. Karis is one of our students at Epiclesis. She is a member of the church along with her wonderful family. And we've come today to talk, well, about a variety of things, Karis. You're involved in a special project right now that touches on some important things happening right here in Sacramento. But it occurred to me that you might want to just take half a jiffy to tell people a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you go to school, what your life is like, what rings your bell, that kind of thing. Would you tell us a little bit about you, would you?
I'm 17 years old. I'm a senior in high school and going through all the college applications and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Which is really time consuming, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was. Now it's just the waiting.
Oh, yeah. So you grew up in Sacramento, yes?
Yes.
Yes. And you've been a member at Epiclesis, gosh, 10 years, I guess, almost from the beginning,
almost
I think.
Almost 10 years. I think I was 8 when I came, so
yeah.
Yes.
And so you and your family have been an important part of our worshiping community. And there have been times past when you guys were doing some projects on your own. We love at Epiclesis to encourage folks to, well, be missional wherever they go and whatever they do. And you and your mom, Christy, were involved in a project back, oh, I guess it's been 2 or 3 years now.
2 years, yes.
Yeah, it was a special missional opportunity for Haiti, right? It was?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that. And then I just want to pick your brains a little bit about that trip and how, if in any way, and I bet it did, spark a continuing interest in you to do missional things.
Yes. This was my first ever international missions trip that my mom and I partnered with a church from Idaho.
Yeah.
Some friends go there and we joined them and we had a pizza and suitcase packing party at Epiclesis,
yeah.
And everyone brought stuffed animals and supplies and things that the school we were partnering with in Haiti needed.
Yeah, because you took like a metric ton of suitcases,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we took, right. I think it was 6 suitcases full of supplies.
Yeah. So you find yourself in Haiti, and if I'm remembering right, well, it seems like there is in some ways perpetual unrest there, but it was a little sketchy at the time, wasn't it? Remind me about that.
So actually, I think it was a week after we left, the corrupt government raised the gas prices and the whole country went into riot,
right.
And all travel was shut down. So we were very grateful that we were able to leave before that happened.
Yeah, it was just the knife edge of timing, wasn't it?
Yes.
While you were there, Karis, I remember you being involved with a school. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of things were you doing there?
So this was the Village of Hope School in Haiti, and we did a lot of different things. We traveled with the two principals, and we went out to a village that was outside of the community and very, very, very poor,
right.
And we took a little Sunday school lesson and some crafts and food for the kids there and just played games with them and had a really good time. So that's one of the things we did there. We also helped them. They have dentist office for people who need it, and they have food and supplies for those who come needing those things. And we helped supply those with what we brought from the United States and also help them organize things and just help the school serve meals to the kids. And we just had a very blessed time there.
Well, it was life-changing, wasn't it,
in a lot of ways? Yeah, it was. I'd never been to a third world country before, let alone outside the United States. So it was very, very different.
Is it safe to say that that trip, that project, sparked something in you? Did it kind of awaken a love and a joy and an affinity for this kind of thing? Or, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like it really did have an effect on you.
I think so. Yes, it did. Yeah.
If I'm remembering right, you guys also worked with some infants as well.
We did.
Tell me a little bit about that.
So in Haiti, children who are born with any sort of deformity or disability are seen as cursed in their culture, and so they are abandoned. Mm-hmm. And there's an orphanage there run by monks, and they take in these children who are abandoned and care for them. So we also went there one day and played with the children and brought supplies and just loved on them for the afternoon.
Folks, you're listening to an edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. As always, zip over to the website and check it out. You can learn more about Epiclesis, and you can learn more about a project that my very special guest today, Caras Fikincher, is working on. It's a project not about Haiti this time, but some important work happening right here in Sacramento. Caras, let's do this first. Give us a broad overview of the project, and then let's dig into a few more details about what's happening there and what you hope to do, okay?
Yeah, I'm an American Heritage Girl, and this is an organization that is a girl leadership and character building organization for girls 5 to 18.
And is it nationwide, by the way? I've been meaning to ask you that.
Yes, it is nationwide, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'm working towards the highest award you can earn, which is the Stars and Stripes Award. Mm-hmm. And it involves doing a project for a nonprofit organization that is at least 100 hours in time in working on it. And it has to be a substantial project so that it'll be long lasting.
Okay, so let's get the context here. You're in an organization that, if folks have not heard of American Heritage Girls, would it be safe to say that it is a Christian kind of version of Girl Scouts? Is it that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. And so you've been in there a long time, if I'm remembering right.
Yes, I've been there.
And now you're at the point where you're ready to go for this incredibly high award. So for those folks who are familiar with Scouts, can we say it's something like an Eagle Scout Award?
Yes.
I mean, it's the top of the top of the top. Okay.
Very similar.
And so you have found an organization here in Sacramento, and you're going to be going at it, if I know you, in a wonderful way. And it sounds like 100 hours. Goodness gracious. That's a lot. I bet it'll fly by, but that's a significant amount of time.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about what the organization is. You've identified one.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a little something about what it is that they do.
Yeah, so I'm partnering with Mustard Seed School, which is a school for homeless children in Sacramento based out of Loaves and Fishes, which is the larger organization that helps the homeless in the Sacramento community.
Yeah, downtown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Loaves and Fishes. And so you're saying they have a school that is attached to that ministry. Okay.
Mustard Seed School.
All right.
And I've partnered with them to do this project for their school. And it's been quite a journey. I had an original idea and project and that would fit their needs. And through a bunch of long process, and I was almost done writing the required description to be approved by the overarching American Heritage Girls Nationals.
Uh-huh.
And I was close to being done with that when COVID and lots of different things, struggles happened, and I wasn't able to do the bulk of it.
COVID, what? I'm not familiar with that. What is it?
Yeah, of course.
COVID stomped all over a bunch of stuff, didn't it?
Yep.
Well, did it get delayed then? Was your project delayed?
I had to go back several different steps that I had already accomplished in this whole process. But it ended up sparking a new project, and it actually fits my personality better and is actually what God, I think, really wanted to do.
Isn't that just, he's wonderful, isn't he?
Yes.
It's just like God to use something yucky like COVID or delays or obstacles like that and then transmogrify it. That's a Calvin and Hobbes word. Transmogrify it into something even better. The Mustard Seed School. Caras, tell us a little bit about that. Who are they serving and what kind of things are they doing?
Yeah, so they're serving the homeless community in downtown Sac.
And the grade range is?
I believe it's preschool through eighth grade.
Wow, okay. That's a big span.
Yes.
And do they have a large facility? Do they have several facilities? What's the scene like on the ground, as it were?
The school is right next to Loaves and Fishes location in downtown Sac. And it's a very small place, but it is very welcoming and cozy, if I can use that word to describe it. And very, very, it's a very safe place. And I think the kids who go there feel very safe when they're there.
Is it like the old days when it was a one-room schoolhouse? Is it a single room or do they divide it?
There's several different buildings and that surround this little courtyard. And they're also in the process of building a playground and making some things better and brighter for the children.
And so folks who are homeless and in need and who don't have access to education for their kids, they're coming there. Any idea of the student population?
From what I've heard, they receive and see about 300 kids per year.
Wow. So, I mean, it's a real need, a pressing need.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I want to ask you about that right quick. Like, how did you find out about them and how was it that you came to identify that particular place for some focus?
Yeah. So this was about a year ago, actually, when I started this whole award process. And it really put me out of my comfort zone to approach an organization.
Really?
And yeah.
That surprises me a little bit.
I mean, it was just different and something I'd never experienced before.
Sure.
And it was also hard to know, like, where do I start? How do I start looking for a project that I can do for a nonprofit? And I was singing in choir at a different church, and they are partnered with Mustard Seed School, and
I
heard about it through them, and I thought that would be a really neat place to do something.
Right.
And so I had a meeting with Casey Niddle, who is the director, and she and I had a great conversation that first time, and I asked her what her needs were and what I could do for them.
And she said, where have you been my whole life? I'll bet they really welcomed you with open arms.
Yeah, it took a little bit to figure out, you know, what I could do for them and what they needed. But it ended up, you know, lots of different meetings happened and I got to go and see the space and identify what I could do for them. So.
Okay, well, let's talk about that next. But first, let me remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith, a radio program and ministry brought to you by Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. We come to you each week with special guests to talk about this thing called ancient future Christian faith, and missional and formational things are a part of ancient future faith. And in the studio with me today, I'm delighted to say, is Caris Fikincher. She's a member of our church. And speaking of missional and speaking of formational, she's involved in a very special project. She is a member of American Heritage Girls, and she's focusing on a project to help a school for the homeless in downtown Sacramento. Caris, just before the break there, you were telling us a little bit about the school, who they serve, and now let's get down to brass tacks. What is it that they said they needed, and what are you going to attempt to do?
Well, like I said before, the project changed. It was really neat. This is a need that they had originally and something that they had wanted to do for a long time. But COVID kind of actually put this need into priority for them.
Oh, okay.
And a big portion of my project is going to be an outdoor classroom to build fine motor skills. And I'm going to be building picnic benches for their outdoor classroom in addition to garden boxes so they can get their hands dirty and watch things grow. And in addition to that, I'll be purchasing a mud kitchen.
What in the flibbity-flube is a mud kitchen? I've never heard of such a thing. What is that?
It's something that's going to have a little sink where they can pump water and they can, you know, make mud cakes or just kind of play kitchen kind of thing.
Okay. So this project, is it focused mostly toward
towards the preschool, yes.
All right. So the outdoor thing really sounds like it's going to be helpful at least in a couple of ways. It meets a COVID need, right,
mm-hmm.
for being outdoors. But it sounds like it's going to be something that they can continue to use even after, God willing, all of this COVID stuff is gone, yes?
Oh, yes. They're going to be able to use this for a very long time.
All right, so let's mention it again. You're building this. By the way, I've got to see the mud kitchen when it's done. I want to see what that looks like. And you said picnic benches, and what else was it?
Garden boxes.
Are you handy, Caris Fikincher?
Well, my grandpa is very handy, and so I'll be asking him for a lot of the help in building these. There's one more portion, though, that I haven't mentioned yet.
Oh, tell us about it.
And this was actually something that stayed the same from the very beginning. All of this is something I can build off campus and then install there
later. Okay. All right.
They just can't have a lot of people on campus
due
to COVID
imagine.
And just their year-round school in addition to all that. So
okay.
So the third part of the project is building shelves for their preschool classroom. They're okay. Montessori-style classrooms, so they have a lot of shelves with very simple shelves with a lot of fun activities and things to help the kids grow and learn on those shelves. And that's kind of the Montessori style.
I see.
And they are in need of new ones. So I will be custom making these pre-measured shelves that will fit their area.
So it sounds like you're going to have to do some on-site engineering and then go away and create it and then come probably with some help and do the installation on-site.
Yeah, I actually have all the measurements and estimated amount of wood I will need to build these, but we're planning to build them off campus and then, yes, bring them on and install them.
So there are three parts to all of this, but they all have building or constructing or...
Yes.
Yeah, okay, something like that in common. Well, we're going to get to how we can help you in just a minute because I really want to dwell on that a bit because, folks, you're going to have the opportunity to get involved. So if you don't already have something to write with, I want you to grab some paper and a pen so you can help Karis with this really wonderful and much needed project right here in our own backyard, downtown Sacramento. Karis, how much is all this going to cost? Have you done the budget yet?
Yes, I have. Before I can even start fundraising, I had to have an estimated cost.
Right.
And that was $2,200 is approximately how much I will need to do this project.
Well, lumber's expensive, yeah?
Yes, it is.
And I'm sure that there are some fittings and other little doodads and gadgets and fasteners and things you're going to need along the way as well. How wonderful, by the way. We've got to shout out again to Granddad for helping
you
with that.
It's good. He's awesome.
It's good to have somebody handy around. So you've got a budget just shy of $2,500, and you are doing a few things to fundraise for this particular project.
Mm-hmm.
Let me handle an overarching question first. Karis, when someone participates with you, let's put it that way, are there administrative and overhead costs, or is everything they give going right away to the project? I think I know the answer, but I wanted to hear it from you.
Yes, every single cent that people donate are going all to the project.
Yeah. So folks, when you make a gift, you can do so with confidence. And trust me, Pastor Chris, that when you are working with Karis Fakinscher and her family, you're working with people of great character and integrity, and you can be certain that all of the monies that you are going to help with this project are going to go right where it needs help the most. Karis, I know that you have more than one approach on how folks can help. So let's lay those things out and talk to the folks about how they can see and get a hold of these things you're going to talk about.
I have several different ways I'm fundraising for this project. One of them is more for those who are local in Sacramento, but I'm doing a jar fundraiser where...
Say that again.
A jar fundraiser.
A jar fundraiser. How does that work?
So I've reached out to several different communities in my circles and have invited them to take home a jar and fill it with cash or change or checks or anything that they feel led to give towards this project. And it's... the theme is plant a mustard seed. So
Because that's the name of the school.
Yes. And so if, you know, you fill a jar with change and it doesn't add up to that much in total, it will definitely impact the fundraiser.
So you have these jars and I saw them, by the way, and they're cute as a button. And you will, as I understand it, actually get these jars to whomever.
Yes.
And if necessary, if people who are listening to us in far-flung places, I suppose you could get one as well. But we're going to talk to you about a way that you can participate without the jar. So I think you just said a minute ago, didn't you, that probably the jar fundraiser is for more local folks here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's one way folks can partner with you on the fundraising. There's another, or at least one, I think, right?
Yes. So I'm also using the skills that I have in photography and calligraphy, and I've made greeting cards that I'm selling in order to raise money for this project.
And folks, I got to tell you, this is first-rate, wonderful work. You said greeting cards, and it's a combination of both photography, and you're a wonderful photographer. By the way, that would be a whole nother wonderful conversation we could have, but you're a wonderful photographer, and these are your original works. accompanied by this marvelous calligraphy. By the way, that's another conversation, but you're a wonderful calligrapher, and you have put together some amazing cards, and not just for the holiday season, although you've got a lot of that too. Mm-hmm. You have a wide variety of these cards available.
Yeah.
So the idea is that people can peruse what you've got and make some purchases. And folks, listen, you're going to be getting cards anyway, right? For the holiday season or thank you cards or, hey, aren't you glad we're over COVID cards or whatever. And you're going to be needing to get those anyway. So why not get them from Karis Fakinsher? And all of the monies, did you hear that part again? Let me say it again, folks. All of the monies are going to help the Mustard Seed School in downtown Sacramento, which is a ministry outreach of loaves and fishes. Okay, so Karis, we've got jars and we've got cards. Anything else?
Yeah, so one more thing is, if you're local, this is more for local people as well, but when I've done fundraising and I've purchased all the materials, I'm going to need your help to build these things because I can't do it all on my own.
Right. So there may be some handy folks out there who want to participate. Mm-hmm. It occurs to me to ask you this, Karis, but if folks are in far-flung places and they want to participate in giving, I suppose that some checks would also be welcome. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And we can work on the details of that, folks, and we'll put all of that information on the Epiclesis website. Again, that's EPICLESIS.org. You can see what one of these jars looks like, one for the jar fundraiser. You can check out at least a little bit, some samples of Karis's wonderful calligraphy and photography that she uses in these cards. You can find out how you can help with your own sweat equity, as it were, and also some details about how you can give if you just want to just donate something directly to the cause. Karis, another question just pops up in my mind, and that is, let's say that you have a whole bunch more monies come in. People are excited about this. They want to participate, and you get more than what the budget is. Mm-hmm. Have you thought through about what you would do with those monies?
Yes. So any extra money that I might earn from the fundraising will be sent directly to Mustard Seed. So I'm not receiving any of the funds. All of it is going to Mustard Seed School.
So folks, there you go. I mean, even if we, and wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to go over the budget and what she's hoping to get, all of it's going to go to Mustard Seed School. There's a lot of folks out there mm-hmm. who are dependent upon this opportunity for their children to have education that they would not otherwise get, especially focusing on the preschool element of it. It sounds like a wonderful project. Karis, where are you in the process right now, by the way?
So I'm in the middle of the fundraising.
Okay.
And yeah.
And when do you suspect that hammer will actually get pounded on nail?
I'm hoping for work days to happen at the end of January, early February, sometime in there.
So you're targeting shortly after the turn of the new year for getting these things in place. Well, Karis, it's been wonderful to have you be a part of the program today. And you did wonderfully well for the first time ever on the radio. That was great.
Thank you for having me.
And you know what? I just had another idea. When all of this gets done and you're finished with that particular project, will you come back on again and we can talk about how it went, how much money came in, what kind of stuff got done at the school? We could even supply some photos of before and after, that kind of thing. Would mm-hmm. you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I would.
Wonderful. So, folks, you can find all the information about this, the project, how to contribute, the address to send a check if you want to do that, all the details at epiclesis.org. That's EPICLESIS.org. You have been listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, the host and the pastor of Epiclesis. My very special guest today, right here in the studio live, is Karis Fakinsher. She's a member of our church, and she's working on a wonderful project to benefit Loaves and Fishes and a ministry that they have called the Mustard Seed School. You can participate too, and all of your monies will go directly to those who have needs. Karis, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And folks, let me remind you again, before we meet up for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, keep this in mind, would you? The road to our evangelical Christian future surely does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, friends. This is Pastor Chris. One more word, please, before you go. Wanted to let you know that during this difficult time of the COVID-19 virus, we are not gathering at Epiclesis in body, but we are virtually in body because we share the same head, Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in hearing more about our virtual worship services or special small groups or prayer services, please check out epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. Stay safe and the Lord be with you.